Podcasting 2.0 for May 2nd, 2025, episode 219, Buttcast. Hello, everybody. Hello, boardroom. Hello, America. Hello to the world. Welcome to the only board meeting that talks about podcasting, because we are Podcasting 2.0 and, coincidentally, the only boardroom that isn't at war with Russia. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man I'd rather be vibe coding with than Claude or Grok. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only Mr. Dave Jones!
So,
Yes.
As you were introing,
yes.
I had tooted earlier about the show being live, and I included, as I always do, this time correctly, the episodes.fm link.
Yeah, although episodes.fm, did it still tell you it was undefined?
Yes, that's what I was about to say. It didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And then finally the open graph tag popped up right at the end of your intro, and it just came up and it said undefined.
I know.
It sat there for like a minute, and then it said undefined.
This bug has been there for a long time.
Nathan, what are you doing?
It's undefined.
Nathan is undefined. That's the problem.
And I've learned a lot of undefineds. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to TWIV.
This Week in Vibe Coding.
That's right. This Week in Vibe Coding. Did you see my code? Did you look at my code? What did you think of my code?
I did not open your Python file because I was on the way out the door, but I should open it right now. Let's look at this thing.
Yeah. So in the ongoing, and this is all podcasting related by the way, and I'll tell you what I'm doing.
I just tell you that you sending me a Python file is kind of
weird.
Startling in and of itself.
The project I've been working on for, I think, 4 weeks now, which you and I together vibe coding could have done in 4 hours, started out with me, you know, using all different kinds of AI, trying to get liquid soap to work. I'll cut right to the chase. After trying everything, and I mean everything, even Cursor, but you know, Cursor's like, I need an IDE. My eyes rolled up in my head like, no, I don't want that.
What is Cursor?
It's another AI that integrates you with your IDE, okay. And I understand what it does, but I don't. I want nothing to do with an IDE. I just want to copy paste stuff into it, into Nano.
Okay,
this is, and then I can go and find log files and I can feed it back to you. And then, so anyway, long story short, after trying liquid soap, after trying ices, after trying MPD. Music playlist daemon, and I'm trying to turn an MP3 feed of files, not front. So it's a Godcaster feed. So it has files from different podcasts in there, different hosts, etc. Turning that into an Icecast stream. You think it would be easy? Ultimately, because I kept saying I liquid soap. I've spent at least 20 hours trying to get liquid soap to work properly. Forget about it. That's when. You know, whichever AI I was using at the time finally told me I needed to recompile my kernel. I'm like, okay, you're stupid. So,
okay, you're stupid.
You're stupid. So what actually finally worked with some reasonable success using FFmpeg as the streamer to Icecast was doing this in Grok, in Super Grok.
Super Grok.
Super Grok, which is grok.com, but it's for some reason it calls itself Super Grok.
Is that the one that doesn't have any like filters? It's like cussed at you all the time. And
I cussed at it. It didn't cuss back at me, so I don't know about that. But quite impressive at creating a Python script. I think I've probably worked on this for the past 4 days, and it's really incredible. It has zero intelligence. Can it parse syntax and does it understand? You know, code and how code should probably work. Yeah. Is it intelligent? Absolutely not. I'm sitting there going, hey, this is obviously what's going wrong. Maybe you should look at this. Oh, you're right. Snap. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Snap. Oh, that's, yeah. that gets your goat faster than you hate that.
I do. Oh,
you
snap.
Hate the, oh, snap.
Man. Oh, snap.
This Python script. Now, I'm not a Python guy.
Okay.
I'm never going to claim to know much about Python. I can just sort of hammer my way through it if I need to fix something. But I've never seen Alex Gates cry. But I believe this might be the main ingredient that would make that happen.
Tell me why. What is it about the script that now I've told it to comment things, even include whatever you need in your Python environment, all the required include. So I've made it document stuff all over the place. What would make Alex Gates cry?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's just all run together. I mean, like trying, you would have to go line. There's a cursory attempt at some sort of documentation in this code. Like there's essentially one comment at the top of each function that tells you what the function is supposed to do. And uh-huh. There's no other comments anywhere in the function. Oh. And so you would really have to go through this thing line by line for 45 minutes and say, oh, okay, what is this doing?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
What is this doing? And then, I mean, it's very hard to follow. the logging is all just straight logging. There's no like, yeah, this is rough.
Well, there you go.
It, as long as it works.
It's going to take over the world, people. AI is going to rule the world. It's so smart. No, this is what I thought. But
there's no Chinese that I can see.
No, there's no. I look for that as well. Indeed, no Chinese characters. But it does work. The hardest part. What do you think the hardest part of this whole exercise was?
Give me more. You're like coding wise.
Okay. No. What took the most time to figure out and iterate over and over again to get it right? What failed the most? Come on.
DNS.
close second. Parsing through all the permutations and variations of
RSS.
Of URLs to MP3 files.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, people have got multiple redirects and wrong MIME types. And then the file is, you know, you can't get the size because it's, you know, there's no size in the RSS feed. The file itself is, you know, you've got images encoded in it and all kinds of stuff. And that makes it complicated. Then you've got a question mark after the .mp3. And that is a whole nother tracking thing. And so by the time I told my intelligence, told Grok, like, you can ignore that. That's tracking stuff. Oh, okay.
Wait. So you're ignoring the URL parameters that come after the main part of the URL path?
Not on the first. Well, the first access obviously brings the whole thing in, but then it has to parse it out to give a proper URL that FFmpeg or any other streaming software will understand, because that all breaks. No streaming software that I could find can actually handle redirects and parameters. If you're not giving it a straight up file, a URL to an MP3 file without hoops, it's all going to break.
Okay, so you're saying that you have to follow the URL redirect chain to its final destination, get that final URL, then give that to FFmpeg.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I got you.
So that was the hardest part. And of all of the different RSS feeds, all of them, and believe me, I've tried a lot.
You're getting a tour.
I got a full one. And by the way, my heart goes out to podcast app developers, man. I can only imagine what they have to go through.
Straight up.
And so what is there's only one host that constantly blocks my script, no matter how I spoof it, no matter what refer I give it, no matter what identifier I give it, even passing off a cookie to it, Buzzsprout is the one that will not let me create a script to download their MP3 file. Because they're
really?
I think those guys are the only ones who really try to stop download bullcrap.
What are you getting back, 403?
403, yep.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the user agent you're using to send?
Tried everything. Tried Mozilla, Safari, tried spoofing. Because I could literally do it in my browser, on the Brave browser, same machine, same connection, no problem. the minute I fire up the script, no matter what I was passing off to it, and Grok and I did a lot of work on this, it would continuously give me a 403. It's like it identified me, and for some reason, no, you're no good.
Where are you? What is the source IP? I mean, not the IP itself, but where is this coming from? This traffic?
I'm sorry. You're right. In this case, Linode.
It's coming from Linode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Linode, and it comes from Linode block. Block.
Does it work if you come from somewhere else to Buzzsprout?
Yes.
Okay. So you're probably running up against an ASN block.
Yeah. Yeah. Linode, just because it's Linode, that would make sense.
Right. So we you know, certain ASNs.
ASN stands for what?
Autonomous system number. That's the owner of an IP block.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I knew that somehow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if you have an ASN that belongs to Linode, DigitalOcean, parts of Amazon, Azure, you run the risk of getting blocked by some of this stuff because they do it.
Yeah, they figure that's going to be some download script.
Right. Yeah, that's not a real end user.
My point being, Buzzsprout's the only one doing it. Nobody else.
Luckily, we know somebody over there.
Oh, no, I figure. I just put it in. You'll see somewhere in that spaghetti of code, you'll see, oh, it's from Buzzsprout. Expect to go to 403. Just skip ahead.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. This is headers, user agent, referrer, Buzzsprout. There's a bunch of stuff in here from Buzzsprout.
Yeah.
Clean your, you got a lot of Buzzsprout avoidance code in here.
Except for the one thing I can't help, this actual location of the machine. It's been fascinating. However, I will say it works. I got it to work this morning. I'm like, holy mackerel. Now, there's still some buggies in there, but in general, it works. It's real. And so I got like three streams running, and it's fun to listen to. I'm listening to radio all of a sudden.
I will say that you need to not impersonate a browser user agent. It can seem like the right thing to do, but ultimately you will run into problems.
Right. So what should I impersonate? Because obviously I'm a machine.
Well, no, you don't need to impersonate anybody. You just need to get. You just need to give your app a name and just eat it. Because if you like Podcast Index, we do this. If you're coming from an ASN that belongs to Amazon or Linode or somebody, if you're coming from a hyperscaler ASN and you claim to be a web browser user agent, instant block.
Now,
I know you're not. Nobody's running Mozilla browser on.
Right. Am I masking as Mozilla right now in that script?
Yeah, your user agent is Chrome. Well, your user agent is Chrome.
Okay. All right. I'll tell it to. I'll change.
You shouldn't have any problems. I wouldn't think. I mean, you're not getting blocked by Buzzsprout's not blocking you because your user agent is something else.
No, they're blocking because of me. Just it's Adam. You. It's like Adam. No, that guy's he's up to no good.
It's like, this Joker again? Kill it.
Yeah. Now, the thing I'd like to do, I mean, I have so many ideas now that it's kind of working. I'd love to be able to somehow hand off a count. So if I've got another person listening to a stream and it's, woo! Hello, Dreb Scott. Thank you. If I've got another person listening to a stream and it's a podcast hosted on Buzzsprout, I'd love to hand off hey, I got a listener. You know? Which would I guess mean another download or whatever, you know, or give them a count somehow. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because what you're doing,
I'd actually like to hand it down the whole stream. Now, you know, all the redirects and everything. I want everyone to know that there's another person listening and not just one continuous stream. I think that would be fair to do.
I think you can follow the redirect chain with what you could do is follow the redirect chain with something like curl.
Mm-hmm.
And then, this is actually a good question because I don't know if a head request would follow a redirect. No, you'd need the... what you could do is like follow the redirect chain with something like curl just to get all just, the intermediate hops.
Right, give everybody a ping.
A heads up. Yeah, give everybody a heads up. And then,
yeah, I'll put that in eventually.
And then just go straight to the source.
Yeah. Right, right. Well, I give that. I do all that once, but then once somehow I want to see if Icecast can then say, oh, we got another listener. You're listening to this particular file. Follow the chain. Give them a hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, you know who I think would be like the master of knowing the proper way to do this would be John Spurlock.
You're telling me that Grok can't figure this out? Grok is the master of all. It's the best AI ever, according to Elon.
Good luck.
The thing I'm most afraid of is if I actually had to pay for this. Man, the amount of compute I must have sucked up in resources has got to be out of control. And then sometimes Grok just says, oh, I'm sorry, I lost the connection. Regenerate, like refrag or whatever. Well, you can click that regenerate button all you want, but your session's over. It is almost impossible.
You use too much.
I got no credits. Yeah. So then you got to start a new session and say, here's what we were doing. Get it? Because it can't connect to the old session. This stuff sucks so bad. It's completely lost its context. It sucks so bad. And I know that if you and I had sat down, I'm telling you, 3-4 hours, we would have banged this out. It would be working. This code would have been a tenth of what this is. You know, that's,
it would have been in PHP, not Python, though.
I can just say, hey, this is great. Do it in PHP.
No, you can tell Grok to convert this script to PHP.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'll try.
That would be fun to watch.
No, I think I'll make it work in Python now because it suggested Python. I said, what should we do this in Python? Okay.
Yeah, Python's not. That's a good choice. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good choice.
Mm.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed as much by your persistence.
Yeah,
thank you. What is the the scripture? Was it Matthew? Where it's like a neighbor gets up and goes and bangs on your door, was saying, "Give me some bread." And it's like, are they going to get up because they're your friend and help you? No, but they will get up and help you because of your persistence.
Yeah. Yes. You know, like,
just keep banging on that door. Just keep banging. And eventually they're going to get up and give you some dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no mere mortal could do this. I have I have 25 years of idiot experience of doing this stuff. I mean, I can get myself around a shell, you know, it's like, I know conceptually what it's doing, but if I'm just some schmo showing up and saying, hey, write this for me. No, not in a million years.
Well, you already know what the pitfalls are going to be in pretty much each step of this process. If you just go in naively and are like, oh, I'm just going to have this thing down, you know, download or go to a URL and start streaming. It's like, no, please. No, that's not how this works.
No, exactly. But so again, it knows what the next word should be. It understands syntax. I mean, the syntax of the language of Python is well known, and it's obviously been trained on all kinds of, overstack. Was it overstack?
Substack.
Where everyone searches for answers on their code. Is that over? Why am I saying overstack?
Oh, Stack Overflow.
Stack Overflow. Yeah. Obviously, it's been trained on all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh yeah. For sure.
And GitHub, it understands.
It's scraping GitHub like crazy.
I'm telling you, there is 0.0 intelligence. The term intelligence is just get out of here. No, there's no intelligence. Yeah. It basically wrote code for me the way it would write a marketing document with someone who knows nothing about marketing. You get all this flowery wording and all this mumbo jumbo, and it's all way too long. You know, the same if you're doing a resume. You know, a professional will just do a much better job in much shorter amount of time.
So what I do a lot is I search for things. I just Google search for things that I kind of already know what the answer is, but I can't remember the exact syntax. So, I mean, most of programming is just interacting with what's called the standard library for that language.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, it's all your normal, like, find a string in another string, print to the console, multiply. I mean, it's just a bunch of standard things. And 90% of your code is going to be using the standard library, no matter what language you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually over time, when you just code in that language enough, you begin to remember just the standard library stuff. You know, most of them, but standard libraries are large. You know, they got hundreds of functions in them, so you can't remember all of it. And like one that gets me every time is, and especially in PHP, is pReg replace and pReg match. So that, you know, these are standard library functions to search a string for a substring using a regular expression. And I just can't ever remember what the syntax is because it's not like a lot of PHP functions, because I think it's like the second function or third argument, you pass in a variable, and that variable is going to receive an argument on output.
Mm.
And so that's a way that C does things, and you don't really see that in other languages, but because PHP has C under the hood a lot, you get some of this functionality. So I always have to, I'll just Google search for PHP pReg replace.
Sure.
And used to, it would always just kind of take you to the PHP website with their documentation. Now it gives you an AI hit, you know, using Gemini or something like that. Yes. Or Bing gives you an AI hit like every time.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's happening a lot, and most of the time it's fine. You know, it's just kind of because I'm just searching for simple stuff. But I searched for something the other day, and Bing came back with an answer, and it was claiming to be just the standard library. This is the way you use this function. And it was completely wrong.
Yeah, like, hallucination.
Yeah, it was like the parameters for the function call were just wrong. I was like. And it caught me off guard because I was like, "What? Wait, is that right? That doesn't look right."
And here's the thing: that type of a search that comes back with an "quote unquote" AI query result is 7 times more expensive for the search engine to do.
Yeah, than just an Apache GET request to PHP.net. Yeah,
I mean, this is the problem: is it's all so expensive, where, you know, it's like. It takes a gigawatt of power to power this data center. My brain runs on 20 watts. You know, it's like my brain can do so much. It's so much more efficient if I've trained my brain in the right manner to speak this particular language. I just don't see the business case for it, other than a lot of bad code getting put out there.
Well, I mean, I'm probably like a lot of people. I use different browsers for different.
One for porn, one for.
that's the one that's off screen. I've fallen into using Edge for all my Godcaster stuff because.
Really? Well, yeah, because
I don't know why.
It's like we all used to use IE in the web development world. All right, we got to check it on Internet Explorer. We got to have a whole nother version for IE 5.3. Oh, man, it was the worst.
It's like Brave's my main browser for everything. So I keep, it's almost like having different workspaces. My Edge is my Godcaster workspace.
Yeah.
And so I still haven't. Change the default search engine in Edge away from Bing to Google, and which I need to be using Coggy anyway. I need to use
Coggy slash assistant, they give you, now I pay my $10 a month, whatever it is. They give you, I think, 10 different models to use for your $10. Yeah. Yeah, let me see what they give you. I think Alex turned me on to this.
How much is it for real?
It's 10 bucks a month, I think. Nine something. So, yeah.
I've heard nothing but good stuff about it.
Yeah, so you get ChatGPT 4.0 Mini, 4.1 Mini, 4.1 Nano, Mistral Pixtral, Mistral Small 3.1, Gemini 2.0 Flash, and 2.5 Preview. Llama 3.3, 4 and 4, Scout of 4, Maverick, Nova Light, and Deep Sea Chat V3. And then if you upgrade, I've not done that, you can get Claude 3.7, Gemini 2.5 Pro Preview, so, and Grok 3. So I get Grok 3 for free. Yeah,
10 bucks a month for unlimited searches and standard AI. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not bad. I think I'll go ahead and subscribe.
Well, Kagi is just, and Kagi, if you put in a search query and whatever you're searching for and you add a question mark at the end, it'll give you the AI hits at the top. That's a little tip, pro tip for you.
A little pro tip, okay.
And I think it'll do that just no matter what. I mean, I don't know, what am I paying for this stuff? I think I'm only paying.
How's the search results in Kagi? I mean, is it comparable to Google?
Yeah, it's good enough. Okay. Sometimes for the, now, if I'm really looking for something obscure, I go over to my my Start 9 and I use, hold on, what is it called?
Yancey? Is it?
No, it's the other one. You're on the right track. No, I use, where is it? Embassy Search XNG.
Ooh, I don't even know what this is.
So it's a meta search and it's completely customizable. So it searches, let me see what I'm set to right now. So it searches, you can determine different search engines for different types of queries. DictZone, Libra Translate, Lingva, Mozy, My Memory Translated, Bing, Brave, DuckDuckGo, Google, Mojik, Priest. I mean, you can set a whole bunch.
It's a
meta search.
Blending all the results.
Yeah.
I got you.
But if I'm looking for details on somebody or, you know, some obscure thing from a long time ago, always search XNG. The problem is I can only access it over Tor on my Start 9, so it doesn't integrate very well with my workflow. So I wind up, copying from the Tor browser into a regular browser.
Is it Tor only? Can you only get to it through Tor?
Yeah, I mean you can get to it. There's a way to get to it through .local, but that fails a lot for some reason. Depending on you got your VPN running, you got this running, you got that, and it's like it's too disruptive. If I just you don't want to get used to something, and then all of a sudden you're on the road and like oh I can't do it now. You know,
Cotton Gin said I self host certain gig.
What?
Serxing.
Serxng. That's it.
Okay, so you can self-host it.
I'm self-hosting it on my Start 9.
Oh, on your Start 9.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
But it's just getting to my Start 9. It's Tor or it's complicated.
I got you. I'm following now.
With cert. Because you got to insert, you got to add a cert to your browser manually. Yeah, I'm already dreading adding SSL to my Icecast 2 server. I can't wait for that process. That's going
to
be fun.
Wait till they drop the SSL renewal period to 47 days, which they just
is that coming?
Announced. Yes.
Oh,
yes, you can't.
PSYOP this whole thing was. I don't need it for this. Stupid. I don't need it for this. I need it for some stuff, but not for this. And then Chrome and all these browsers go, look at this little bandit crawling through your window. Someone might be trying and stealing your stuff. Are you sure you want to proceed?
A bandit.
Yeah. You ever seen that guy? Little bandit?
Yeah, with the mask.
With the mask on? Yeah. Like, thanks, Google. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Psyoping everybody so that the...
You know what irritates me about this? There has to be a name for this dark pattern. It's not fair to call it a dark pattern. It's because I don't think it's necessarily, I don't think it's intentional, but there is an epidemic now of websites and even native apps that slide new UI components under the thing you're about to tap on. So you go to tap on something or click something, and right before you click or tap,
it pops something up. Yeah, I've had this. It's a hijacked dark pattern,
and it's like so you go to click on the website loads. I blame React based page hydrators, because I think that they this idea of hydration, where you load the page in full, and then more, and then the page itself like fills in its content after the fact. I hate that, because I think it makes there's like this weird delay that happens. You think the website is there in full.
Yeah.
But then, and so you start to interact with it, but right before you do, something changes.
There's also, who does that? What's the website? They do financial information. They have all kinds of, why can't I come up with it now? It's a very famous website. It's got news. But then so you're reading the article. It'll come to me, I hope. You're reading the article and like, this is cool. And then you scroll and then, boop, it pops up of, don't you want to register? No, I don't want to register. I just want to get this article from you for free. Don't you understand the economy of the web? I don't want to register with you.
We should talk about the Apple.
What a win. I'll read the headline. I have it here from 9 to 5 Mac. Apple updates App Store guidelines to allow links to external payments. The full changes, 3.1.1. Apps on the United States storefront are not prohibited from including buttons, external links, or other calls to action when allowing users to browse NFT collections owned by others. Nice. 3.1.1a, on the United States storefront, there's no prohibition on an app including buttons, external links, or other calls to action, and no entitlement is required to do so. The prohibition on encouraging users to use a purchasing method other than in-app purchase does not apply on the United States storefront. This is good news.
Very good.
The donation, known as the funding link, is now approved, as if it wasn't already. Boosting buttons, not a problem.
So I think it's worth kind of going back and giving the context of this, because, I mean, a lot of people just don't keep up with this stuff.
Well, isn't this from the game company lawsuit?
Yes. So this goes all the way back to 2020. Late 2020. Apple got sued by Epic Games.
Yeah, Epic Games. That's right. Yeah,
yeah. And it was clearly it was an intentional. So what had happened is Epic had put in to Fortnite, the mobile version of Fortnite. Epic had put in a poison pill, essentially.
Oh, a poison pill.
Yeah, I mean they intentionally poison pilled the game to have an in-app purchase system. And that was not Apple's in-app purchase. And so, of course, Apple blocked them, blocked the game. And Fortnite sued them. They just needed some premise, to take them to court for anti-competitive behavior.
Yeah.
And so they sued them, and Epic removed Fortnite from the App Store, withdrew from the iOS App Store. And they sued them for anti-competitive behavior regarding the 30% App Store commission.
Yeah.
And so this all
tax, let's just call it what it is, a tax.
Yeah, the Apple tax.
Yeah.
And so to be clear, so for people who may not understand how this works, Apple in the iOS App Store, which applies to iPhones, iPads, they make a distinction between digital goods and physical goods. So that's why you can use the Amazon app and you can make, purchase a book and have it sent to your house for cash. And there's just no problem. It's a seamless experience. But if you try to buy digital goods, things like streaming music, streaming movies, let's say podcasts, if you try to buy anything digital, what they had was that App Store policy that required you to use in-app purchase. You had to. You could not use your own payment system, and you could not link out to an alternative payment system. And you could also not promote the fact that you even had another alternative payment system. Mm-hmm. You could not even put wording, even if you didn't link to it, you couldn't even put wording in your app saying that it was available mm-hmm. at some other place to go get it. And this is at that time that Epic sued. And you could not communicate with your customers through like an email or something like that saying
yeah.
that there was any alternative.
These bastards.
I mean, it was complete lockdown.
Yeah.
You know, just actual prohibitions against the way you communicate with your own customers. That's how thorough their blocking of this was. And as a result, you had to pay the in-app purchase commission of 30%. Yeah. So Apple gets 30% of everything that you do through in-app purchase. So that's what Epic sued them about. So
that's like what is the word I'm looking for when you were back in the old days, you were the owner of the castle and the land, and then you made all your plebs working the land. What are the feudalism?
Feudalism.
Digital feudalism. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all digital plebs. Sharecroppers.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
So, you know, Epic did not want to be a digital sharecropper, so they sued Apple, and on paper, Apple lost that case.
Right. And then they went, nana, nana, nana.
Yeah, and the judge ruled that they had to allow apps to link out from their app to an external payment platform somewhere else. So their website was Stripe or something like that. But in reality, nothing actually changed, because what Apple did a handful of things in the way they complied that made nobody actually want to do it.
Right. Yes.
And the things they did was they made you, if you were going to put a link to an external method of payment in your app, let's say you're Spotify, and you want to put a link in your app on the profile screen saying, you know, hey, if you want to upgrade from premium to family package, click this link and go to our website and upgrade your account.
Right.
If you wanted to do that, you had to ask for an entitlement.
Yes.
From Apple.
I'm very familiar with the entitlements. You want to use mapping function? You got to get an entitlement. Which exactly. means they know exactly what you're doing.
So they created a new entitlement
even, for an external even, funding. Even the link. Name, Dave, entitlement. You are now entitled to do that. But we can remove your entitlement, you pleb, whenever we wish.
Yeah, baked into the word entitlement is the threat of removal of that entitlement That's at any
right.
moment.
That's right.
So you had to ask for and hopefully receive an entitlement from Apple allowing you to put a link in there. Then next of all, they put in, when you click the link, they put in a interstitial like scare screen.
You're going to an external. Oh, here's a bandit with a mask. You might be, mm-hmm. you might be getting ripped off.
I just linked to it in the boardroom. The scare screen is like this big scary thing that says you're about to leave the app and go to an external website. Apple's not responsible for the privacy or security of purchases made on the web, blah, 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 blah. It's like it's a full screen notice that tries to scare people away from actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, they did not get rid of, they didn't forfeit their 30% Apple tax commission. What they did was, they took the credit card fee, which is like 3%. They cut that because now you're going to be using your own credit card processing. So that cut it down to 27%. And instead, they just charge you 27% for all outside purchases. Yeah. And you have to do your own ledger keeping
and tell them send Apple and report it. Yeah. It's worse than ASCAP BMI.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can, yes, yeah, like, yeah, you can take payments if you want to on your own website using Stripe, but you're going to have to track every one of those payments, add up 20% and send us a check once a month. Like, who in the world is going to, nobody's going to do that.
So I would love for podcast apps, if funding tag equals one, mm-hmm. surface the funding tag nice and big. And I'll tell you what's really exciting, because we're seeing this with the Godcaster app that's being built right now. There's an option in the funding tag to put in text what you want the funding tag to say. And so if I look at the app, it, you know, some say give, some say support the show, some say donate now. Now, I understand there's issues with how much text people put in and how that fits into a button. But when you figure that stuff out, it's sexy. It's it really, nice. I mean, that's, yeah. it's different, man, because it's like you want to have a, you know, you want to have a, you know, depending on what your show is, what that page is where you go to. I mean, I might want to say, support us with PayPal. And then you hit that, it goes right into the PayPal payment page, mm-hmm. you know, straight in with a code. So I know it came from the app. I mean, there's lots of cool stuff you can do with that. And this will drive innovation. This will drive adoption of this tag.
So, you know, we have...
Particularly for Patreon people.
Well, see, this fixes the... Yeah, I mean, this fixes the Patreon's problem.
Yep.
You know, they had this... They had this issue of getting pulled into this digital goods commission problem. And this fixes it because they can go... They can... link out to their own payment platform. Mm-hmm. I mean, the judge's ruling on this was about the most scathing thing I've ever read.
80 pages of you guys suck.
Yeah, I mean, Apple was in. She said Apple was in willful violation of the court order and lied about it, mm-hmm. and it's being referred to the U.S. District Attorney for criminal process
AG Barbie coming down on you.
AG Barbie's dropping the bomb. I mean, what does it mean? So what the judge ruled yesterday that basically all this, what Apple did after that initial ruling was willful violation of what her order was. So as of today, Apple changed their App Store guidelines. To make the language clear that you can put a link into your app to an external purchase flow mm-hmm. or funding option without needing any sort of entitlements and without any scare screens and without yeah. paying any sort of commission to Apple.
They didn't actually basically say without money. Scare screens. I don't think they said that specifically, to be honest about it.
It said, well, let's see. It says...
No, it doesn't say without scare screens.
She referred to that in her ruling.
Oh, she did?
She did. She specifically said that that was part of their willful violation scaring, using language to scare
consumers away. Here it is. Apple's imposed new barriers and new requirements to increase friction, increasing breakage rates with full page scare screens. So that's what yes. they did. Let me see what else here. So this was the link entitlement because you had the scare. Oh, she has a whole section here.
Yeah.
Apple deployed. Oh, yeah. And even with yours, did you get that straight from the ruling, that picture?
Yes.
That's the same picture. Okay. So we're literally on the same page.
Wow. The changes they made, you read some of it earlier, the external link account, you know, all that stuff's not required. And it's plain language. The prohibition on, this is from the Apple's terms of service, the prohibition on encouraging users to use a purchasing method other than in-app purchase does not apply. Mm-hmm. So you are, there is no barrier to you putting a funding tag or any sort of like top up your wallet type tag, type of button or link or anything like that in your app.
If and, if I was Apple at this moment, you know what I'd do? I'd front run this thing. I'd be putting digital wallets in the SDKs. I'd be getting, you know, stablecoin, Lightning, Monero, everything. I'd be front running that and become the master of the universe at owning that concept, not owning the money or owning anything, but being the, you know, being the, you know, have a sanctioned doohickey in the SDKs, you know, whatever it's called. Right, yeah. I would be front running that.
You mean competing?
No, I, yeah. Competing against, against any other wallets. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Compete. I mean, and that's all anybody ever wanted was just, you know, competition. And it, like the, every company immediately, I mean, as of starting like today, apps are already changing and putting this stuff into their Spotify already. They already submitted an update and it was approved. Uh-huh. So now you can change your
Music. I mean, you can buy your music. Well,
yes.
Wow.
Spotify did that, put a link in
did
there.
That send their stock price skyrocketing? Let me check.
You know, it may have. That's a good question.
Spotify stock price. Let me check it out. I'd be buying it. Oh, they tanked with 11.72%. Whoops.
Uh-oh. Not sure what happened there, but yeah.
Yeah. What happened so there?
Spotify sent, they updated their app today. Proton updated their app and they're sending out emails to users saying, you know, basically please go and and resubscribe to your account using our platform instead of Apple.
Yep. Oh, that's great. The markets are up today, 300 points on the NASDAQ. So it's interesting that
Spotify. I don't know.
Well, they suck. First and foremost, let's be honest.
And this will flow to Google as well because Google is embroiled in their own antitrust stuff, and they're not going to go near anything that looks like this. Mm. You know, this will have a chilling effect on the big, on Apple and Google both.
Sure.
I think this is probably the best outcome we could have possibly hoped for.
Big time.
For clarity.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it.
What is it not, but what, okay, what does it not mean? It does not, it's only about linking out to an external payment platform.
Yep.
It still doesn't mean that you can put your own in-app purchase mechanism inside your app.
No, you have to link it out.
Yeah. So if you continue using in-app purchase, you're still going to be paying Apple's 30% or 15% if you're a small business.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like, I mean, the court's not requiring them to change that at all. So baking Stripe or some other payment API directly into your app is not okay. But this, you know, fully clears the way for adding a link in your podcast app to the funding tag. Mm. It also clears the way for apps like TrueFans to put a link in their app where a listener can bounce out to their website and top up their wallet and then come back into the app and use that money.
Yep.
But that way TrueFans doesn't have to eat that 30% of in-app purchase.
Which I'm sure Sam wasn't eating anyway. I'm sure he figured out a way around that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You know, he's still trying to launch, you know, so who knows how much he's pricing flexibility he has.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's excellent news. And because so many companies are flooding in to make this change right now, that tells me that you're not putting this genie back in the bottle.
No.
This is just kind of the final word on this. Now, Apple said that they're going to appeal, but I don't even know really what they would be appealing because this is not a new ruling. This is just
from the old ruling.
Yeah. This is an enforcement measure on them not following the injunction from the previous ruling. So I don't even know what they're appealing, really. Evidently, they filed some sort of, I don't know. But I just don't see that this is going to fail. I think this is just the way things are going to be, and Apple's just going to have to get over it.
Yeah.
And that's just great. It's great for podcast apps and for podcasters, because now, you know, podcast apps can really help direct funding to podcasters in a way that's straightforward and easy. Just stick a freaking link in your RSS feed and you're done. You know,
I'm going to make a bet with you. One whole dollar.
Okay.
You ready?
Got it. Give me. Go.
Marco will not put the funding tag in Overcast, no matter what. I bet you a dollar.
That bet.
Take that bet, brother. Take that bet from me. Come on. I'll give you 10 to 1. 10 to 1 odds.
No, I'm not taking it.
Purely for ideological reasons that he thinks we suck.
Probably so.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm not taking that bet because I will lose my dollar.
Yeah. Well, I love that Pocket Cast just went ahead and did it.
Oh, that's huge. Yeah, they've got big market share.
They've got,
you know what I would love to see? Sure. I would love to see Ted and Apple do it.
Yes. Thank you.
That would be hilarious.
It would be awesome. It would be awesome if they did that.
Ted, please do this so I can put that on the apps, podcast.
Does Ted have that kind of juice? Does Ted have that kind of juice?
Oh, he's full of juice. He's got so much juice. Please do that, Ted, so that I can put on podcastapps.com that Apple Podcast supports the funding tag. I want that so much.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Anyway, good. This is a banner day, red letter day.
It is a red letter day. I'm super excited about it.
What is the origin of that term, red letter day? What does that even mean?
Oh, let's ask a seer in X and G. Red letter
Searching
day origin. Okay, here we go. Red letter day. The phrase red letter day originated from the practice of marking important dates such as church festivals and holy days in red on the calendars.
Hey, there you go.
There it is.
Cool.
Well, that's all I had, Dave.
Oh, I'm trying to find this. I'm trying to find this video. Here it is.
Bitcoin's up nicely too. 97.567.
I've noticed that. I don't know what that's about either.
No, it's the devaluation of the dollar. Let's see. What's the dollar at? The dollar is down like 8% this year. Let me see.
I'm posting a link to a video I watched the other day in the boardroom. It's a guy that, this is random, but it's a guy who is a language expert, and he gives the history of the English language.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm sure a lot of people kind of know that, you know, English came from the Germanic Anglo-Saxons, sort of a mishmash of mostly that and other sources.
Mm.
But he tracks the English language all the way back to like Sanskrit and Hittite and an ancestor language called Indo-European. It is fascinating.
Mm.
And he talks about how you can, if you went back and listened to someone speak Hittite, you could understand entire sentences that sound just like English.
Hmm. And Hittitean.
It's crazy. Hittitean.
Hittitean.
Yeah, I just posted that. It's a fascinating video. It just reminded me of it when you were talking about red letter.
You know, I did a deconstruction yesterday on No Agenda, which I will not repeat. It's too long. About stablecoin. Do you know that stablecoin, Tether specifically, has 400 million users?
What are these users doing with it? I don't understand.
It is emerging countries, countries that have crap currency, Turkey, South America, they are using it between each other, just using dollar denominations to pay each other.
Oh.
Because their own money sucks so bad. And they're just, and it's, you know, and the stable coin is backed by U.S. Treasury. So it's literally stable. And I 400 million users. And this is like, you know, to buy groceries. I'm telling you. And no KYC.
Really?
Yes. So part of the stablecoin bill that's coming, that is moving through Congress right now, there's no KYC. There's another one. There's CIY or something. There's some other extra KYC that you have to do with the bank account. Those require, now, mind you, it may be that that is not necessarily available in the United States that way, because they're trying to separate the euro dollar from the dollar dollar. So euro dollar being all the dollars that aren't in America. Like, they're like, you do whatever you want. Just go for it. Whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's completely trackable, obviously. But I am going to predict that that is, stablecoin already works on the Lightning Network. I know people are rolling their eyes. I know.
Stripe integrate it. They Stripe use it. Announced support for stablecoin.
Yep.
Like in you can do use it for purchases.
Yes. Yes. It's going to be the future.
There's a guy that I watch on YouTube sometimes who explains a lot of this stuff really well. Eurodollar University.
Yeah, you sent me links to him. Yeah.
Now, he can be kind of insufferable at times. You got to get past a lot of the, we're
like
all going to die.
Like his face. Just got to get past his face. <That's right>. I'm not intending to be mean, but he's like, okay. He looks like a weasel. He's got a little weasel face.
Every video is, oh my God, we're all going to die. But if you get past that to some of the like underlying economic mechanics,
he's phenomenal.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And he debated Len Alden a couple of times about some things. But, you know, one of the things that one of his main.
Can I ask you a question before you move on?
Yeah, sure.
About Len Alden. Maybe it's just me. Is Len Alden trans?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I always wondered.
There was a whole thread about it on Twitter. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, that one's, it's like, I've always looking, you're like,
I know, but it never bothered me, you know, like, but it's just this lingering question. I should ask someone about that. And finally, I got the chance to ask. Thank you. All right, settled. Yes.
So one of the things, one of his main sort of like pillars is, of the euro dollar system is that when you, that other countries seeing as how the US dollar is the reserve currency as the world's reserve currency, other countries are constantly having a problem of running out of dollars.
Exactly. This is exactly what I talked about yesterday. So they need, they need dollars. And so there's a whole dollar market, which was always set by LIBOR, the London interbank offered rate. LIBOR died.
It failed. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And now it's SOFR, S-O-F-R. And that's controlled by the New York Fed. And the whole idea of the stablecoin bill is we're going to keep the dollar's dominance by flooding the world with stablecoin, Tether specifically. But I think you'll have there'll be all kinds of stablecoins, you know, JP Morgan coin, whatever. And then weakening the U.S. dollar itself that we use internally, so that our exports become cheaper.
And by flooding, what you really mean is just having an open market for dollars that is not controlled by the Fed.
Yes. Well, it's not. It will be controlled. No, it will be controlled by the Fed, but the Fed can let it do whatever it wants. It'll control our dollar the way it wants.
But the Fed may think they can control this, but I can tell you already they can't.
Well, this is where it goes beyond my knowledge. I have no idea.
Well, I mean, global banks trade U.S. treasuries. That's their main source of currency. Bank to bank, if you're HSBC and you're trying to do a deal with a bank in Singapore, you're doing those deals based on U.S. Treasury bonds.
Yes, yes.
And so if there is if you're J.P. Morgan and you have a subsidiary, if you have a subsidiary of yourself in Germany, you can create U.S. dollars at will. Mm-hmm. There's no governor on
That's
you.
Right.
You can do it That's as right. much as you want.
That's right.
And so all those, what they call money lenders.
Creators.
Yeah. It's,
makers.
It's, there's certain.
Primary dealers, whatever.
Primary dealers. Thank you. Primary dealers. Those primary dealer banks can just create as many U.S. dollars as they want.
And that's what.
And they're backing them with U.S. treasuries.
And that's what Tether, their backer is Cantor Fitzgerald. They're the primary dealer. So they can create all these stable coins. Cantor Fitzgerald, Howard Lutnick, who is currently our Secretary of Commerce. Hello. Now, No Agenda Millennial is saying in the boardroom that it was planned, LIBOR to SOFR. Yes, it was planned. And LIBOR ended, technically it was supposed to end 2021. But do you know when the last contract ended? The very last contract that finished off LIBOR ended on March 31st, 2025, which gives a whole new meaning to this.
My fellow Americans, this is Liberation Day.
So we were all told it was about tariffs, but I think it had more to do with SOFR than anything.
Oh, you may be right. Well, Paul, is it Paul Volcker? One of the Fed guys called the euro dollar
like poison or something
system. No, they called it it was the hole in the side in the hull of the boat of the U.S. economy.
Yeah, sure. Especially because China has all those dollars.
Yeah, and you think of the U.S. economy as this boat, and the Fed is increasing and decreasing the money supply. But then you ignore this giant hole in the hull, which the euro dollars just flow in and out of at will. So you can have trillions of dollars of treasuries and now stable coins just coming in and out of that system. And it's completely unaccounted for.
Now
the Fed can't control it. They can't stop it. They can't regulate it. It's completely beyond their control.
But if it's a stable coin, they can monitor it.
If it's a stable coin and they're buying, if somebody is buying a stable, if Tether is buying a stable coin to increase supply because they have a customer and they're doing so by selling a treasury, I don't know how you track that.
Well, I do know one other thing, that these stable coins will also be backed by Bitcoin. And Cantor Fitzgerald, again, huge holder of Bitcoin.
Who is Cantor Fitzgerald?
Cantor Fitzgerald were basically wiped out because they were in one of the Twin Towers on 9/11. Interestingly, Howard didn't go to work that day.
Huh. That is interesting.
Yeah. So, and he holds hundreds of millions of dollars in Bitcoin personally. So I guess what I'm saying is, if we want the value for value economy to work, it's worth observing stablecoin. If we're going to be jihadist and maximalist about it, that's fine. But I'm just saying it's worth the infrastructure doesn't have to change. In fact, the infrastructure becomes easier. But the Lightning Network, that was the whole taproot, whatever that extra widget was that was added.
Yeah, does that work?
Yeah, it works.
It does.
It works. Yeah. You can transfer stablecoin over Lightning. It's going to become very easy to use stablecoin in programmatic ways. that will be understandable due to hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars of marketing to help people understand it. So I'm just saying.
Well, it's a new frontier, man.
I'm just saying.
I don't think anybody knows what.
You know who knows?
If you were to who?
The strike kid. Jack Maulers, he knows.
Jack Maulers, yeah, he knows everything.
He knows what's going on. So, you know, he's using stablecoin, but he's also has this 21, forget the name of the company. He's creating a company that will give people shares, and it'll be Bitcoin. The measurement mainly will be how much Bitcoin per share. So he knows. He knows that there's what's going on behind the scenes. His parents are in there. They're the commodities. I think they pretty much are the Chicago Commodities Exchange, where they were. He knows what's going on. I would follow. Whatever he's doing, I would follow.
Strike has been using stablecoin since the beginning, as mm-hmm. as far as I understand.
For their transfers, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it really is the perfect solution for its use case, in that, you know, when you're talking about, you know, dollar availability.
But I'm just going to say it straight up. The opportunity for value might be in stablecoin. Please keep your mind open to it. That's what I'm saying. If we're all going to say, no, it has to be Bitcoin and nothing else, okay, then we'll remain that. But for me, it's always been about the value being able to be returned simply. For me, it was never, it has to be completely, you know, anonymous, and it has to be Monero and all this stuff. I'm just not like that. I take PayPal as my main income. My number one income is PayPal.
Eric PP, we do have a new podcast location tag, and it is cool.
Where's Eric podcast- PP been? Where have you been, man? Everybody knows about the location tag. We talked about it on the last board meeting. Where you been?
So that is formal now. I formalized those changes, I think, Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember. So I formalized those, and James, I did some changes, and then James cleaned things up, and we pushed it into the namespace, so that is good to go. And I started working on putting, now that we have in Godcaster, now that we have latitude, longitude, I started a new branch to put that stuff into Godcaster players.
Yeah, we're using it heavily. Did you see the map?
Yes, I did see the map. That's so sweet. Yeah, that's really nice. It's really nice. And it's this tag. This tag lets you do that kind of stuff.
It's amazing. We built all this stuff, and then all of a sudden we got an opportunity to use it. We've never had that. It's like, oh.
It's
this,
fun.
Yes, it is. Like, hey, if only we had wait a minute. We built that solution.
Yeah. It has been really fun to be able to actually use this stuff other than just like blindly sticking it into a parser.
Yes. No, actually, I'm going to send a picture. I'm going to give this picture to the boardroom. They'll love it. Hold on a second. Where am I?
Oh, is this the map?
Yeah. Hey, we can share screenshots.
Yeah, man.
Let me see. Hold on. This. Takes a lot to do a screenshot these days. Hold on. I'll show the second. I got two screenshots. I'll share both of them. Here we go. Boom. There's one, and boom, there's two. Okay, there you go.
So now it's back to everybody's favorite. Now it's back to everybody's favorite tag, the images tag.
Are we on that? What happened? How do we get back to that? To that problem, the images tag.
Well, I put it off until after we finalized the location tag changes. So now we're back to that. And, you know, my plan for this is to work with Nathan, middle name undefined. I'm going to work with,
Nathan undefined.
I'm going to work with undefined Nathan to get, to get some stuff that we can link to show what can be possible with the images tag. So that's going to be where we go forward on that. So I don't want to talk about it today too much, but I just, that's where we're headed next. And back into the mouth of the beast.
Okay. What does that mean?
The images tag is it chews you up and spits you out.
That's,
yeah.
That's the mouth of the beast.
Yeah. The images tag is the beast.
Oh, goodness gracious.
In the meantime, though, I've started working on, started back working on the new parser, the new parsing agent.
Party Time?
The new version of Party Time. We could talk about that next week. I do want to run through, though. I've been promising Archie that I would just kind of lay out how our back end is put together, because he's been asking about that. I think I've talked about this before, but maybe not. I know we've talked about all kinds of stuff, but let me just make sure that I give that some time, since I promised I would. Our infrastructure for the index is pretty simple. I'm trying to get logged in here. Hang on a second. We just have a single main database running MySQL. Hang on, I'm trying to get my two-factor code.
I don't, now on Linode, do you always have to wait for the code through email when they log you out?
No, I have it in my
you can set up
code app, one-time password app.
Oh, okay. I should probably use that, because they can take 5 minutes to send that email. I always get worried. I'm looking at spam.
It does. Yeah, it does take.
Sitting around like, come on. I got a project to do.
Yeah, Grok is waiting.
Grok is very patient. I'll give it that. You can come back a day later and says, hi. Yeah, we're continuing. It's all good.
Okay, so we have one main MySQL database. It's a 32 gigs of RAM. I don't know, some bunch of disk. I don't know how much disk it is, like 640 gigs or something like that.
Whoa.
Yeah, the database is big though. So we've got that. It's running MySQL 8. The front end is two servers, each running Nginx reverse proxying into PHP FPM that then, sit in front of the database. And those are load balanced using Cloudflare. Mm-hmm. So we have, it's just round robin load balancing on that.
Cloudflare, man, what a genius operation that is, really, when you think about it.
Oh, it's so slick.
It's a game and money saver. It really is.
You know, one of the best things about Cloudflare is you get to piggyback on their SSL certificates, and you don't have to do your own.
You don't have to do all that junk. Oh, interesting. Right. Interesting.
You just proxy it and you get to piggyback as an SN on their certificate. It's great.
Nice.
So that's basically the whole of the API, direct API. It's just the database and two front end servers. The two front ends are, everything's Ubuntu 20 LTS, I think.
LTS 20.4.
Is that it? Okay.
Yes. I happen to have been doing some Linode work lately.
Okay. it's 20.
LTS 20.
Yeah, LTS, and then we have our main website is just, running off on a thing, it's on its own, on a small Linode. Nothing is running. None of that's the database and the front end servers. None of that's running like Docker or anything. They're just running on bare metal, the processes. Then we have 10 aggregators, each running, on two, excuse me, one, well, about half of them are on 1 gig nanodes, the smallest Linode, and then six of them are on that, four of them are on 2 gig Linodes because they have more volume on them. And so each one of the aggregators is just is running party time, and it runs the puller, runs the puller to pull the feeds. It processes them with party time, and then it directly talks to the database and does SQL SQL execution on the database. There's no pipeline of SQL. It's just everybody's everybody's talking to the database at once. Then we have our search indexers. We have three of those. We've got the main indexer, just pulls the database every 15 to 20 minutes and searches for, it's running Sphinx Manticore, and it's a very lightweight, very fast search language index that can sit on top of MySQL. So we have you have three instances of that. The main one pulls every 15 to 20 minutes and look and just indexes the title of the feed of the podcast and the author and the author field. And then we have another one that is the person tag search.
Mm-hmm.
Or excuse me, not the tag, but there's a person search. And then another Sphinx Manticore instance, which runs and does autocomplete.
Ooh.
So in the API documentation, there's...
Ooh, that's a sexy.
You didn't know we had autocomplete?
I did not know that, no. That's cool. Yeah. Oh, nice.
We did that a long time ago for Martin, may he rest in peace, of PodFriend.
Our Danish friend.
Yes.
May he rest in peace. He's going to come back one day. He's going to have a whole new interface.
he got angry when we encroached upon Greenland.
Yeah. He's like, hey, man, that's our stuff.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Then we got, we got four search indexes. There's also the value for value podcasts. Those have their own index.
Ah, yes, of course. Of course.
And then there's three like utility servers, you might want to call it. There's an email server that's just running on a tiny, 1 gig nanode, $5 a month. And all it does is act as a bastion host for email to go out. So any email traffic all goes through that host, then gets redirected to Mailgun, and then Mailgun does the delivery of the email. Then there's a utility server, which is a 4 gig Linode, and it handles all of the backups, like nightly backups, weekly backups. It monitors pod ping, and flags the database for, when things need to be polled, and does a whole bunch of just anything and everything that this just sort of like utility work that happens on the index. It's all running through that one. That server runs all those cron jobs and does all that stuff. Pruning, slow polling for specific things that are needed, the weekly database dump, all that stuff happens on that one server.
Nice.
There's a webhook gateway server that handles things coming from CurioCaster, or not CurioCaster, but
Sovereign Feeds.
Sovereign Feeds, yes, thank you. That handles web hosts coming from Sovereign Feeds.
Can I just say once again, thank you so much, Stephen B., for Sovereign Feeds. It is my life.
It truly is
my life. Thank you for it. He added the location tags. That nice. That is such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful tool. Thank you so much. In fact, I'm going to send him some Satoshis right now. I forget to do that from time to time. He's in my splits, but he needs a boost. He needs a bonus boost.
The webhook gateway also unlocks our the podcast index lightning node from Voltage.
Mm, mm, mm.
So it auto unlocks that. It basically just any webhook traffic that's necessary. And then we have, that's running on just a $5 a month, Nanode. And then we have we have a server dedicated to Lightning node maintenance and all the stuff that goes around Lightning so that it interacts with our Lightning node and is constantly pulling once a minute. It's pulling the node and pulling in transactions. And that's what's responsible for generating like the charts. And that's how I pull, weekly, boostograms. And it just keeps a running total of all the transactions, and it's constantly sucking them into a MySQL database so to make it easy to search.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the year for taxes, we had to dump all those things out, all this kind of stuff. So that's on a server by itself. And then we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Podping hosts, one in Australia, one in Europe, and 3 in the U.S. by region. So there's one in the West Coast. I hope
everybody who's in the board meeting and listening is proud of what you all have accomplished. I mean, Dave, yeah, you've done this work. Thank you, of course. But man, I mean, with all the, just the whole community and the funding from the community, it's just been phenomenal. Look at what we've created. Don't break your arm patting yourself on the back, but holy mackerel. It's awesome. It is. I just got to stop and say it's awesome. What a group. And we're all pretty too, except for that good looking, that undefined guy though. I'm not too sure about him. Otherwise.
Yeah. Holding judgment with that. And then there's ActivityPub Bridge that's running on a 2 gig Linode. People may forget that even exists, but the ActivityPub Bridge is there. And then, we got one other Nanode that's just used for, you know, various things. I use it for testing new stuff where I don't have any other place to put it. So all in all, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 10, 20, let's see, 24, 25, 26, 30 servers we have running.
Wow. That's a lot. So let's thank some people who help keep those servers running, shall we, Dave?
Yes, let's do it.
Because you're going back to the office today. It feels like you're at home today. I don't know why.
I'm at home currently, but I am going back to the office.
Oh, okay. It felt like you were at home this morning.
No, it's post-tax season, very slow at the office right now.
Dave's like on the ball, like, oh, well, he answered another message. Oh, holy mackerel, what's going on?
Thank you. He answered in less than an hour.
Well, I'll take a day. It's all right. I get it. Thank you, Silas on Linux 2345. He says, I think with podcasts have to have RSS. We have enough elitism already. We don't need everything needs to be pure Bitcoin elitism. No, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. Let's see. Martin Lindeskog, a.k.a. Lyceum, coming in from True Fans, 420 sats. Thanks for your economics in one lesson about stablecoins, funding tag, etc. I'm happy to be a super fan of your podcast on True Fans. Game on and go podcasting. I'll top up my wallet next week. Lovely. Stephen B., 1001, and he says, it's coming. It's coming.
What? What's coming?
It's coming. It's coming. You don't know that it's coming?
It's coming May 10th.
May 10th.
The satellite spotlight. See the future of everything everything podcasting 2.0 has been working on for the last few years.
May 10th,
2025. The satellite spotlight.
I did a promo right
Sunday.
There.
Sunday.
35 nitro-burning funny cars.
That's right.
777 from Sam. Sam over there to True Fans. I'm so happy Apple are being forced to change their feudal tax. The EU will follow, and then we can submit our True Fans native app. I assume Google will be forced to do the same for the Play Store. Spotify's updated app is already available. Patreon are updating their new app next. Yes, this is a sea change, I think, as we call it. A sea change.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know what Google's current policies are. I'm really not familiar with it. I think they have a similar thing, but I just don't think they're as aggressive as Apple is. But I think even if they were, it's clear that this is a chilling of all that. I mean, I really think that Google would not have a whole lot of desire to do strict enforcement of any of that kind of thing. I think the feeling that you have, Sam, is totally correct.
Yes, I agree too. 4-7s from Dreb Scott. He says, coming in from Podverse, thanks everyone for their patience with delays in my posting of chapters lately. Hey, brothers, you know me. I'm like, I'm amazed you do it at all. I appreciate it. I've recently started exercising to try to lose about 50 pounds. I started gaining when my now 8-year-old was born. I hear you. Got to drop the baby weight.
That's right.
The exercise is making me more tired than usual and using up my extra energy that I use for chapters. Doing my best to keep up. Thanks again for your patience. Hashtag go podcasting, brother. It is all okay. I appreciate what you do, man. I really do. He does chapters for No Agenda, Podcasting 2.0, Curry and the Keeper. I know he does it for at least 3 more shows. He just does a ton of work. The Bruce Wayne of Podcasting 2.0. Thank you, brother. And there's the delimiter. So you're up, Dave.
We had one.
Count him, one. PayPal? PayPal,
one off PayPal. Yeah,
very, very slow these days. Very slow. It's tax season.
Summer.
Yeah, summer. It's not summer.
It kind of is. It's hot here.
It's not summer. Yeah. Summer, not
people
summer.
Are already getting out of school. Mm. Yeah, Jason Tiemann, $10.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you. Appreciate it.
We did have some boostergrams, though. We got plenty of boostergrams.
It's boostergrams are plenty. We've got them.
Boost.
Boostergrams are plenty.
We got Sam, 4219. Welcome back, gents. Friday night restored. Red wine in hand and geek chat.
Yeah, I think we read that one on the last show, actually.
Did I?
You might have doubled down.
Let's see. April 25th. Did I pull the wrong start date?
Let me see.
April 25th.
Our last show was April 25th. Yes. So everything from the 25th, okay, you can ignore.
That may have come in from the, I may have had my timestamp wrong. Let's see. 1701. Yeah, we got a bunch. Ooh. Got a bunch of these.
Captain Sweatpants says, my boost didn't make it, but shows it went through on my node. Okay, I'll read your boost. I listened to a podcast last weekend that said podcasting to... Oh, wait a minute. I did see that one. How come I... Did I miss that one? Hold on a second, brother.
No, we're discombobulated. This is falling apart.
Yeah, it is falling apart. I'm sure I saw that one somewhere. Hold on. I thought I saw that boost come through. Well, I know I saw it. Well, anyway, I'll read it from your from the boardroom. Listened to a podcast last weekend that said podcasting 2.0 is just too geeky for the average podcast listener. Well, duh, it's supposed to be. We have fun with all the sexy namespace and coding talk each week. Jeez, go podcasting.
Yes, duh.
Michael, what happened to that? I know I saw that boost come in. Did it disappear? Oh, there it is. Yeah, 13,
hiding in plain sight.
Yeah, hiding in plain sight. 1321. Randy Black. Thank you. Gotcha.
Lyceum 1111. Satchel Richards. Through true fans, Dave. An episode 171 of Budcast. I think we read that one too.
Budcast. What?
But
I heard you said Budcast. I heard you say Budcast.
Lyceum. What are you listening to?
Show title Budcast.
Budcast. Oh yeah, we read that one too. You're all
over the map, man.
They're mixed up. Okay, this is not.
Thank you, Mike Dell, 1701. Hi guys, long time no talk. Yes, we see you. We see you, Cole McCormick, Godcaster video coming Sunday. Oh, thank you, Cole. We hired Cole.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we hired Cole to do some Godcaster videos.
Okay, look. I think I found my
figured it
my
out. Thing figured it out. Yet. Yeah.
The timestamp was wrong. Hey, citizen. 6969 through Podverse. Says, thanks again for the index, fellas. Last episode gave me a strange impression that we were going our separate ways, monetizing V4V using well-established platforms like Patreon for easier onboarding. Am I reading too much into this? Love and lit. I don't know what...
Read that again.
He says, last episode gave me a strange impression that we were going our separate ways, monetizing V4V using well-established platforms like Patreon for easier onboarding.
No.
Am I reading too much
into this? Yeah, you're reading too much into it. You are.
Yeah.
As usual, listen, you're in a Curry world experiment. I'm always 10 years early. We got five more years to go before V4V really works. And at that point, Jack Mollis is going to make all the money and we'll still be sitting here doing this silly podcast with y'all.
Prediction.
This is a prediction. Guaranteed. Yeah. That's my lot in life. I get to have a lot of fun, but no money.
No, I mean, I don't see... I don't see anything changing. I mean, I think in order to, you have to hit every, if you're a podcaster, you have to allow people to give to you in whatever way that they feel
most comfortable with. Do you know that, Dvorak we have a bank. I think I might have told you this. We have a bank in California near him in Albany, I think. And it's called Mechanics Bank, which is clearly a gangster bank. And he cannot change banks because the only bank that will accept him coming in every 2 weeks with like a stack of 50 checks for like $3,
all different banks.
$3.33, $5, and it's great. Uh-huh. Now they do charge us, but only 15 cents flat fee for each check they process. So we'll take anything except Bitcoin, stupid Dvorak.
You have to allow checks, PayPal. You can't be jihadist about it, you know. And
no, I mean, it's crazy. If someone says, "Oh, I want to," this is why I'm so frustrated with Bitcoin. The other day he was so happy. Oh, we can now take Bitcoin. I'm like, what do you mean? Through Stripe. I go look. So, no, they can take stable coin.
Oh.
No Bitcoin. I said, but, you know, Trump takes it for his sneakers. Bobby the Op takes it. Robert Kennedy Jr. took it for his campaign. Nah. We'll get there. He's just mad.
Nothing's changed.
But yes, the bottom line is you got to give every people the opportunity to donate however they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be stable coin, Bitcoin, Lightning, meme coin, Trump coin. I don't care.
Yeah, anything.
Monero.
Anything that you can pay your bills with.
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
CLOS on Linux. Sasser Richards 1111 through Fountain. He says, this vibe coding talk cements what I boosted in previous shows. You need to know how to code. And the more detailed your instructions are, the better it will do. Probably also depends on how much memory the app and context window the LLM has.
Mm.
Yeah, knowing how to code in order to use one of these things is...
Yes, is handy.
Handy.
Very handy.
Aqualith Media 1033 through Fountain. Says the live stream on my podcast part just lit my mind on fire. Soon, go podcasting.
Yes, go podcasting. Go podcasting. Yes.
Bruce, the ugly duck, ugly quacking duck, 2222 through Podcast Guru. Love funding tag using Buttsprout hosting.
Buttsprout.
A push of the funding button and it takes you to my my support page on my website with different ways to support. Thanks for the episode 73s. Yes, the Buttsprout way of doing the funding tag is I think it's the way to do it. You tap the funding link and you land on a page and you just can donate like five different ways.
Yeah.
It's just so easy. I wish other hosts would build a similar backend.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way to go.
Yes.
comic strip blogger. Oh, let me make sure.
Delimiter. Is that the delimiter? We hit the delimiter. Delimiter.
That is the delimiter. That's the delimiter. Let me make sure. Yep. Everybody. Yep. We're good. Yeah. Comic strip blogger 15465 to Fountain. Howdy, Bitcoiners, Adam and Dave. Please tell your audience to visit my blog at www.csb.lol for my mostly hand-drawn cartoons about artificial intelligence, about podcasting 2.0, and dogs. These are copyright-free cartoons, so anybody can repost or use anywhere. Also, follow me on X at c.s.b. Just the three letters. C-S-B. Yo, C-S-B.
C-S-B.
Little house ad from Comic Strip Blogger. CSB. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
House ad.
CSB.
CSB.
We got some monthlies.
All right.
Chris Bernardick, $5. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Dreb Scott, $15. Thank you, Dreb.
Thank you, Dreb.
The now lighter Dreb Scott.
Yeah, the 50 pounds lighter.
Cameron Rose, $25. Chad Farrow, $20.22. Kevin nice. Bay,
yes.
$5. Thank you, Chad, by the way. Kevin Bay, $5. Martin Lindeskog, $1. Mark Graham, $1. And Brendan over at Podpage, $25.
Love you guys all so much. And gals. I'm sure some gals are hiding in there. Thank you for supporting Podcasting 2.0. Really, you're supporting the entire infrastructure and for a long time. So we'll be good for that. When the next 5 years hits, when everything becomes successful, it'll still be running. We'll see who donates then.
It won't be Jack Maulers. I can promise you that.
No, it won't be. It won't be. That's okay. We all have our role to play on this grand stage. And with that, I want to thank you, Brother Dave. What you doing this weekend? Yeah, hanging out, having a good time?
Yeah, this weekend we'll probably do some rock climbing. Housework.
Well, you should go grab the brand new beta of the Godcaster app on Android. Your mind will be blown.
Yes, I've got my Android phone here. I may do that after work.
Prepare for your head to explode.
I'll get napkins.
All right. Boardroom, thank you very much for being here. We look forward to seeing y'all again next week as we return once again with Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Oh, he's full of juice.